Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of Militia Monday here on You Have Tread on Me Radio. Our website is youhavetreadonme.com for those listening in somewhere else. Our show's starting to get put on other websites again, so that's a good thing. All right, Hunt, our guest tonight was supposed to be Morg from the Tennessee Militia, but Morg has fallen ill. He's been trapped in bed for the last 4 days with some nasty bugger virus. And knowing Morg like I did, I mean, this man is a masochist. He will engage in PT with two broken legs and a concussion. That must be really bad.
I know those types. Nothing will get him down unless they're just about comatose.
Oh yeah, he's the kind of guy, man, where they'll go out and do a 5 mile run with double pneumonia in the freezing cold. So, what we're gonna do tonight is basically an open mic thing. You know, I get up here on this show and I talk a lot, and other people talk a lot on this show, and we throw forth our ideas and our problems and our concerns and what we think are problems and concerns and solutions. But what I'd really like to hear about is, what's in your guys' minds out there? What are your concerns? What are your questions? You know, I know we talk about a lot of different things on here, and a lot of them, you know, they're really old ideas that we're not. You know, we just haven't practiced them. They haven't been part of our lifestyle in, 100, 150 years. You know, and I see a lot of people out there making comments or stating this and that about, you know, militia, committees of safety, the problems we face in America, whatever they are. I see a lot of people talking about freedom and liberty, and then the next minute they're endorsing laws. You know, more government laws and regulations, so. You know, there's a lot of misconceptions out there about what is, what isn't, what is freedom, what isn't freedom, what our Constitution says, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, what these things are and mean. So basically what we're going to do tonight is an open mic thing. We've only got a few people in the chat room, which is odd. We usually have four times as many in here, but we'll go with what we have. You know, the call-in number, the toll-free number is 877-374-3980. Something I wanted to cover real quick, and I know we kind of went into it last night when we had a caller on from Georgia. He goes by Southeast Georgia. Sharp guy. I like him. I like him a lot. Known him for a while now, going on over a year. You know, in Southeast Georgia, they've been having some problems with the militia of Georgia down there. You know, it seems as if there's infighting and coups left and right, and some people not liking the rules and regs or the way things are, so they go off and they join other groups, or I don't know what it is, but I know that there's problems down there with their militia, and it's not just there. It's a lot of places. It's all over the country, in fact. I know that the Ohio Minutemen Militia, besides heavily working on committees of safety and getting their group up and running, you know, getting solidified with their, you know, with their own units and groups out there, since they are relatively young, but they're truly fast tracking it. They're fast tracking the process. But I know that one of their big things out there is trying to get out there and talking to militia about various ideas and working together and putting the personalities aside and getting on with the principles of what we're about. I know in the past that our founding fathers didn't have these problems, but they had a civil authority. So they didn't have these problems that we face now, and that's one of the problems that we have. We don't have that civil authority anymore. We have militia that are out there, and they're starting, and many of them have good intentions. I mean, they're trying to do things right. Some of them are just off the track, but hey, maybe we can get them back on track.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, we all seem to be having the same problems out there. Some are prospering more than others. Some are floundering out there. A lot of it has to do with PR, public perception of militia, the fact that militia is a bad word.
Yeah, militia has been demonized for way entirely too long. And what we have been able to outline here in some of the previous shows is we do have groups of people out there trying to do it right, you know, cooperating with the civil authorities, collaborating with law enforcement, being a resource for the community. community, really stepping up and going above and beyond to really start turning around that misconception about what militia is.
And I think, and that's, you know, that's a problem that we have today, is that something that is actually dictated in the Constitution as law is now being demonized. So, hey, why don't we start demonizing all these other laws? And if we can get rid of that law, then why don't we get rid of all the other laws? You know, but they don't seem to ever want to get rid of those laws. They only want to get rid of the laws that empower and protect the people. We the people.
Exactly. Exactly. They've been going against the Constitution for quite some time now, and we've diverged so far off track. The founding fathers would hardly recognize the society that we live in today. They're rolling around in their graves, I guarantee you that.
But, you know, one of my least favorite founding fathers out there was Hamilton, for obvious reasons. I mean, the guy was a statist. He was an aristocrat. He was a statist. He was an egomaniac. You know, he openly said that the masses needed an aristocratic class to think for them because they don't know how to think for themselves and they need to be told what to do. That was his mentality, which is the mentality we have today. But even with that, I think that if Hamilton came out of the grave today and looked around, I think his jaw would drop. I think he would wonder what the hell happened. I think that he wouldn't see any difference today than what they fought against then, and even worse.
Oh, yeah, it's far worse than it was then. We've endured so much more than the colonists ever could have thought of enduring, and they stood up a long time before it ever got anywhere near this bad.
But, you know,
and yet, the public stands down.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, I used to go around and listen to a lot of shows. I tried to listen to a lot of shows. Unfortunately, you know, most of the shows out there are still dealing with the left, the right, you know, it's the Republicans, it's the Democrats, it's these. I'm way beyond that. I left that realm behind back in the early 90s. So it's hard, you know, it's hard finding shows to listen to. But Delta Yankee, good guy out of Colorado, he was in the chat room saying that he's noticed that a lot of people are starting to wake up. They're starting to start getting a lot more interested in equipping, prepping, ammunition, weapons, firearms, survival, things like this. And I think he brings up a valid point there. You know, I know that before the election, everybody was screaming about martial law, there would not be elections, a military in the streets. It didn't happen, of course. You know, most of those hysterical things never do happen. And if you really think about it, the government's not going to slap down martial law like that. But we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But I noticed that this election was supposed to be the election that was going to save our country. And I know we got a whole bunch of, in the grand scheme of things, we have 453 congressmen, something like that, 450, whatever it is. We got, I don't know, however many, you know, a few dozen in there. And I know that all of them but 10 voted to pass the Patriot Act again. I think that right there is what started waking all these Tea Party people up.
All of these protesters up.
You know, I think that we are getting at the point now where the Founding Fathers were when they submitted the olive branch. People are realizing, you know, those who thought that the ballot box still worked and that the jury box was still working, I think they're starting to realize they've long been dead. And this was the thing that woke them up. You know, we can't fault these people for that. It's hard to wake up from a dream that you think is real. You know, we live in Plato's cave, and if anybody hasn't read Plato out there, you need to read this man because he is the author of everything you see today. He created this system, and he just wrote about it because he, as he said in his book, The Republic, it has been mastered long before Greece was even around. All these techniques of control, social engineering, these all existed long before his time. You know, so we all wake up in stages, and each stage is going to have its pains and its trials and tribulations for you personally. I think that we're getting to that point now where the American people are starting to realize it's broken. It's very broken. 435. Thank you. You see, that's how little I even care about these bastards anymore. I stopped caring how many there were. All I know is that there's too many of them telling us. There's too many of them telling us everything we can do. There you go. 435. So thank you guys. Everybody keep in there, keep me straight. You know, I stopped worrying about a lot of this little minor stuff. You know, even the dates and places of things I stopped worrying about. What I care about is the events and what actually happens. And this is what I think we need to get beyond. I think we need to get to this point where we realize that man is broken. We need something to fix it. It's not going to happen by politicians. So where does that leave us? Well, individual, if we live in a republic and we want to uphold that republic, it leaves us unable to really enact much change individually because that's not how our country works. We work through representative bodies. That's how a republic works. You know, no one man has the right to call up a militia. No one man has the right to say the government is defunct and de facto, or the government is defunct, so I'm implementing a de jure government. We don't operate like that. You know, that's mob rule mentality. That's all mob rules. So again, you know, this show is pretty much open for the different discussions tonight. Whatever's on your mind, hope Morg is feeling better out there. You know, he's a tough bastard, so if he's been down for 4 days, he must really be bad. It must really be bad. So I hope he's feeling better, and we'll get him on as soon as he's up and running again. Colin for the show, the Andrew line, is 877-374-3980. You can call in anytime you want. Open subject tonight, so hey, you can go wherever you want with it. You know, but going back to the point is that a lot of people are waking up. People are joining militia. I know that OHMM is just recruiting like crazy, nonstop. It's just going. I know other people are having similar things. Other ones aren't having that luck. So, you know, we've all got our problems out there. And you know, we need to start really sharing and talking about these problems and helping each other figure out how to solve them and coming up with ideas on whether that worked. Honestly, you know, I don't think the militia really needs to be spending its time going out there doing PR work and doing good deeds and things like that. They need to be training. We are so far behind, it's not even funny. Our militia need to be training. They need to be recruiting. They need to be solidifying their operations, their structure, their SOPs. Maybe that's what they need to be focusing on. Our militia should not be out there having to engage in PR. They never had to in the past. You know, that's a body who has one purpose and one purpose only. And it's not PR and marketing.
That's very true. But in the past, there wasn't all the demonization and you know, hype and PR spin against them, you know, that we face today. You know, it was a whole different ball of wax back then. You know, people didn't look at the militia the way they do today. You know, so there's a lot of damage that's been done, you know, over the last decades. And it's been done deliberately because the powers that be, you know that they have to neutralize the people as best that they can and render all of their defenses ineffective, because once we start taking a stand and we get organized, oh, it's over for them. And they know that. You know, thus all the divide and conquer, all of the bad PR, the demonization of the militias, the founding fathers, the Constitution, truth, you know, it's just gotten to be absolutely ridiculous. We got a caller, 706. You want to bring him on?
Yeah, bring him on.
All right.
And this is
706. You're on the air.
Cobra from. Hello. I just got your contact information from a friend from Southeast.
Oh, Southeast Georgia.
That's correct.
Yeah, good so, man. He's a damn good man.
I don't know how long I'll be able to stay with you, but I want to check in. At least for a few minutes here.
Well, you know, I'm glad to have you here with us. We do a different kind of show here. You know, we don't talk about, this is actually one of the few shows where we don't have a specific subject we're talking about. Tennessee Militia was supposed to be on tonight. They've been actually recognized by their government, and their government is even starting to help them out with financial aid to help get them up and running now. So we were going to be talking to them about that tonight. But we're basically kind of leaving it open to open mic night. And before you had called in, we were actually talking about some of the problems that the militia were having. We actually were using the militia of Georgia as an example because last night, Southie Georgia was on, and he had brought them up and was talking about them, and I'm familiar with the problems they're having. Similar problems all over the country. You know, and we need to figure out a way to get around this. I mean, our founding fathers didn't deal with the problem. They had a civic authority that saw that. We don't have that today.
Hold on a second here.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Do you hear that welcoming committee there?
I hear the welcoming committee. That's the best alarm system you can have.
That's bad timing. Okay, I'm listening to you, so go ahead. I'm very much interested in hearing what you got to say.
Okay, great. If you want to cut, I don't know if you have internet access. I don't know if you're on a cell phone or what. It sounded like you were walking in a door. So if you're on a cell phone, you want to cut your cell phone bill, you can actually listen to us on youhavetreadonme.com. We got a player there. We're streaming live there now. So, or you can stay on the line. Either one, your choice. Well, we had a question from Delta Yankin. And the question was, have you heard about the 257 free trade zones inside the U.S. for China? Yes, those are very old, in fact. Those laws were written back in the 70s, back with the GATT Treaty. They were designated to create land separated out for different country groups to come in and engage and, you know, build their manufacturing and production here, be able to bring in their own people. This is all part of that GATT Treaty that was signed in, I think it was 74. So it's been around for a long time. We're just getting the memo about it, and we're just hearing about it now. You know, I personally don't think it's a great idea. I think American land should be for Americans. I don't think foreign interests should really own land here. I think they should be able to lease land here. I don't think America should be for sale to foreign interests. My personal idea there. That's just my two cents. I don't know what anybody else thinks. I know that those coming from the free market society, you know, I was mentored by the father of the free markets here in the U.S., Murray Rothbard. You know, he was one of my mentors at UNLV. He is the father of the Libertarian Party. I understand the concepts of free market, but also the concepts of free market don't take into effect that, my personal view is that they don't take into effect the protectionist aspect that a country needs in order to survive. For instance, if we had a truly free market economy, there would be every country in the world planted here, owning land here. There would be no laws or regulations protecting anything or anybody, really, and everything could be willy-nilly as you wanted it. We would basically become a borderless country with no culture, no system. Oh, wait a minute, that's where we're at now.
Yeah. You noticed.
So, you know, I'm aware of them, man. They've been around for a while, you know, much like the New World Order. Everybody thinks we're coming into the New World Order. Here's a newsflash for you. The New World Order has been around since, the turn of the century. We've been in it. It's been here. We're just getting the memo on it. We're now moving to the new World Order. This is the pain and suffering phase. This is the growing pain phase, the getting rid of the old and bringing in the new phase. You know, that was the UN. That was the whole purpose of the UN. In fact, the UN said it would only survive. Its purpose was only to last for 50 to 70 years. To be that stepping stone into the new system. The New World Order is here. It's been here for a long time. We're just getting the memo about it. Same thing with those 257 free trade zones. Now, I ask you a question, though. You know, what happens when you start bringing in all these, when these free trade zones start filling up? And, you know, they're going to have security on these free trade zones, so now they start bringing in their security to handle them, and these free trade zone areas are going to be staffed and secured by, militarized guys, Blackwater-type guys. And you got 257 of them set up throughout the country, and they're huge. They're massive. Sounds like you've got standing armies now in the country that are not American. And, you know, our founding fathers said having our own standing army was a bad thing. Imagine now having standing armies in the country that are not even ours, that don't answer to any of our civil body or any of our civil authorities, like Congress or the people. You know, we got problems in this country, and we really need to start working on them. It's not even funny how bad things are getting, how bad things are now. I mean, it's terrible when Russia news is telling the Russian people just how free they are and using an example of the U.S. to exemplify how free they are. We are the new Russia. We are the new communist force in the world. That is us. We have been turned into that new Nazi party, that new Stalin World Revolutionary Party group. That's us. That's the U.S. We are not free by any means. Even Russia is freer than us. And they make sure to tell their people that daily on the news. We got problems, and unfortunately, you know, we can't seem to put our own personalities beyond, you know, and get the principles out there in the front group anymore. We fight about the most stupidest shit out there, really. We fight about Masons and Illuminatis. We fight about this and we fight about that. We fight about conspiracy theories galore, and we are more than willing to fractionalize and divide our forces over the smallest, tiniest little thing. United we stand. And if we don't start to stand united, divided we'll hang. That's reality.
That, right.
That is a sad reality.
It's the truth, though. They wouldn't have gone to all the trouble to divide us if it wasn't necessary. You know, they've spent a lot of time and money, resources, energy into, you know, chopping our society up into these little pity warring factions over the most inane bullshit out there. So we're completely ineffective when it comes to the larger picture issues.
Well, you know what's sad? When we want to fight for more money, we can sure band together there. And I mean, I see liberals, I see Republicans banding together in Wisconsin and going to demand more money. They can pull together then. You know, we just can't seem to pull together for our own common good. You know, I thought, you know, I don't mean to come down on anybody out there. You know, that's not the point of this. The point of this is to show, man, we need to come together. And if anybody out there has ideas other than what I've been saying, you know, please let me know. I'm all about new ideas. I'm all about a new way of doing things because the old ways don't work. You know, that protesting doesn't work. We've been protesting the Federal Reserve since it was first created. How has that worked out for you?
Oh, as you see, in the last almost 100 years, it's worked out swimmingly. It had made a bit of progress on that.
You know, we protest our politicians and we tell them that you're treading on us. Or we tell them, don't tread on us. Newsflash, they've been treading on us. But we keep telling them, don't tread on us. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. And they keep treading on us. So apparently those protests don't work either. You know, some guy made big news when he went to an Obama speech in Colorado, I believe, or somewhere, I forget where it was, New Hampshire? It was somewhere. Several people have made big news. They are New Hampshire, this one gentleman in particular, the first guy, went out there with a Glock on his hip. Other guys in Arizona, I believe, went out too, or in Colorado, went out there with a loaded rifle. So they're not listening to our civil demands, but damn it, let us go out there armed. And that makes news. You know, that's the whole thing behind the committees of safety and the militia. One cannot exist without the other, as we saw back in the old days. Massachusetts was the first one to go to the people and say, look, we are no longer loyal to the governor. We are not subordinate to him anymore because he violates our laws. He violates our freedoms. He violates our rights as Englishmen. We need you to form a civil body now and become the civil authority for us to subordinate you. So they formed the Committees of Safety. That Committee of Safety then told them to go and arrest Governor Andros. They did. They kept him shackled in the jails there until he was sent for by the king. And neither the king nor Governor Andros once ever came out against the people and what they did. It was their right under Magna Carta. And our founding fathers kept that right going today with our country. They kept that subordination to civil authority there. They kept, and it was clearly defined in the Bill or in the Declaration of Independence where it says governments exist at the will of the people and the will of the people only. When that government becomes destructive to the will of the people, it's time for them to go. It's time for them to change government or replace government. That's not going to happen if we're all fighting and bickering out there. That's the way it is. It's not going to happen. I haven't been paying attention to the chat room, so if there's any questions out there, pop them into the chat room now. You can find the chat room at youhavetrapped.me.com. Yeah, we're starting to fill up there. I notice a lot of people in there from OHMM. You guys kick ass, OHMM. You really do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you guys really do. Shining example to what we can do. Kudos to you all.
You know, and it's not because they got better ideas than anybody else. They're just actually engaging it upon ideas. They're engaging upon what the Founding Fathers implemented for us. And they're not bickering about Masons and Illuminatis and alien agendas and satanic worshipers, and they're not arguing about that crap. They're recruiting, they're training. They're trying to find people to create that civil body, that civil authority, those committees of safety or associations, whichever one your state had. Many states called the committees of safety different things. They didn't all call them committees of safety. And in fact, the very first ones were set up when we first got here to Jamestown area. They set up a civil authority outside of the governmental system because there was no governmental system there to help them. It's an 800-year tradition with us that we have this. We just have forgotten this.
We've had a little help forgetting it, though. They've taken it from our history books, and they've completely changed the curriculum around. So we don't get to hear about these things in our history classes anymore. You know, it's all about dates and events and memorization, and they've completely drained the hows and the whys and the nuances of history completely away from us. We've been robbed in so many more ways than just financially. You know, our very heritage has been stolen from us.
Very true. You know, it's not even just in our textbooks. Go watch a Disney movie called Johnny Tremaine. Johnny Tremaine is about that revolutionary period. There's a section in that movie that talked specifically about the committees of safety and what they were doing and the role they were playing. But they cut that out, so now when you watch the movie, it doesn't really make sense when it gets there. Because they're talking about A, then they go straight to C with nothing in between. So it's even in our movies that we see, our Disney movies, our historical movies that we saw. So, we need to put a lot of this stuff behind us. We need to figure out what worked in the past and start implementing those things, because obviously what we're doing now is not working again. It didn't work in the 90s. I watched the whole militia movement rise up again in the 80s, in the late 80s, really get a foothold in the 90s, and then collapse. We're at that pinnacle. We're at that point again. We're stagnating. We're plateauing. We're not really going. We're not progressing towards anything. We're gathering. Some militia out there have nobody in them. Some have formed, and they don't have anybody with military experience. You got brigadier generals out there. Self-appointed brigadier generals. We got problems. We need solutions. So what do we do about them? We talk about, people in the chat room right now are talking about the Middle East and Egypt and Libya, Lebanon, Syria, or Yemen, Tunisia, all these countries. If we really look at what's going on, let's forget about the Brzezinski's role in all of that, because Brzezinski wrote a book in, 98 for the Prosperity for a New American Century group. It was called the Grand Chessboard. And he laid out the plan for the Middle East, Egypt, and all these countries, and what he was going to do, the U.S. was going to do, and NGOs were going to do to create, to foment this unrest that we're seeing now. But let's forget about that for a minute. Let's just look at these movements that the people are engaging in. These people are not armed, for the most part. These people live under tyrannical regimes, for the most part. Now, whatever it is that they're wanting is up to them, in my opinion. But what I wanted to focus on was the fact that these people got together quickly. They put aside personal differences, and they gathered. And they made some change. Now, let's take Egypt, for instance. Egypt, they wanted to get rid of the dictator, so now they got a military governor. Now they got a military government. Not, I guess they're okay with this. I don't know. My personal belief, that's the same thing as a dictatorship, but hey.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All dictatorships are military rule. Martial law is military rule. With the commander-in-chief of the military as the head. I'd also like to see where martial law exists in our Constitution. I've yet to find that. There is no martial law anywhere in our Constitution. You know, but these people gathered and they put their differences aside, and they went out there and they fought for something. They put principles before personalities. And whether they want a Sharia republic or not is none of our damn business, honestly. And I believe it was Jefferson, maybe Franklin, I forget which. I got 10,000 books rattling around in my head. Maybe it was Washington even. It said, trade with all. Engage in entangling alliances with none. You know, that's how we should be. We don't need to focus on other countries. We do not need to be in other countries dictating foreign policy to them with our military, through our military bases there.
Of course not. It's ended so well for us, you know, thus far. It's caused nothing but problems. But yet everybody continues to go along with it. We need to be the cop of the entire world. You know, we need to, you know, give people democracy at the end of a rifle barrel. The whole thing is just absolutely ridiculous on its face. We'd have so fewer problems if we just stay home and mind things here in our own nation. We've got plenty enough problems to solve that we don't need to be out there trying to solve the rest of the world's problems.
You know, somebody mentioned in the chat room about Israel. You know, I know a lot of people out there support Israel. I know a lot of people don't support Israel. My idea on that is Israel should support Israel. The U.S. should support the U.S. We should always do what's in our best interest, not somebody else's best interest. Maybe some of you out there can answer this question. How do you feel about the fact that $16 billion a year of your money is taken from you at gunpoint, threat of death, through taxation, and is given to Israel for free? Never have to repay it. It's not a loan. It's just free. I don't agree with that. Should we support them in their ideals of their freedom? Yes, I think we should support them, just as we should support everybody out there who wants to be free. Whatever their freedom looks like to them. But again, you know, this whole thing of supporting all these other countries and, you know, putting up these dictatorships is costing us. We are the new. If you look around the world, we are more hated and despised than the Nazis. And that's a fact. The Nazis had a lot more support throughout the world than we do. Everybody seems to hate us. Even our allies hate us. Israel is not an ally, though, unfortunately. They have never signed any kind of alliance treaties with us. They refuse to sign those treaties, in fact.
And yet we keep giving them money. It's ridiculous.
So, you know, if they're our friend and they're our ally, then why haven't they signed alliances with us? Why haven't they signed those treaties with us? I don't know. But my point of this is, you know, these other countries out there are starting to form together. Their people are rising up and forming together for a common purpose, a common goal under one banner, much like our founders did.
Well, we've got another call, 912 area code. You ready for a call?
Bring them on.
912, you're on the air.
Southeast,
how you doing, brother?
Not bad, man.
Comment, or did you just call in to listen in? I think you're on the road right now.
Give me a second. Looks like he just dropped off, lost the connection. Hopefully he'll call back. Not sure if that was on my end or on his end. We seem to be holding the connection pretty stable, so I'm not sure what's up. Hopefully he'll call back.
All right, sorry about that, Southeast. He's a truck driver. He's on the road right now, so he might have been going through a pass or something. My brother drives a truck, so I lose him constantly on his cell phone. You know, so my question is how come all these other people, all these other countries that aren't free have never truly ever known any freedom at all whatsoever? And truly, if you look back throughout the history of, you know, even the modern history, you know, the AD period, no country has ever been free except for ours for a very short period of time. France was never free. Okay. None of these countries were ever free. We are the only country that ever had true freedom for even if it was only for a little while.
And all right, we got stuff to back.
They're leading that push towards freedom again. While we sit here, we watch, you know, Dancing with the Stars and, you know, American Idol and crap like that.
We got Southeast back. Hey, you got us split here. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. I was like, Randy, keep going, man. You're on a roll, bro. Let it roll.
So, you know, I got to ask us, what the hell is our problem in this country? Why is it that we are sitting here watching other people fight for freedom while Russia is laughing at us, telling their people how much more free they are than us? Why?
Well, they are.
I'm in a unique position where I get, you know, due to my job, you know, I have to take business trips. And if a lot of you saw what the country was becoming, if you could actually see for yourself, you know, the dynamics of it are changing. You know, and you know, not saying that diversity is a bad thing, I'm the last person to think that, but the fact is that, you know, you've got people of diverse cultures in this country that don't know its base history. They don't know how it was founded. You know, they don't know the laws and the rights that we have. You know, there are laws say that, you know, we restrict our government from going overboard or being too evasive. That's the theory now. They feel just, okay, yeah, let me get a piece of the American dream. And that means, you know, I speak my own language, deal with my own people, eat our own foods, you know, F you gringo, you know, or Quilo, or whatever. You know, that's how they feel. Well, it's your turn. You know, it's your turn to be at the bottom of the pile. And this is their general, this is how they generally feel. You know, but for you or I, you know, I love my freedoms. You know, I try to maintain, I try to leave as free as I want. You know, in my area, I carry open, I don't have a permit. I don't carry, I don't believe in asking for something that's already my own. God-given rights are my God-given rights. And another man that puts his pants on one leg at a time, that just may happen to wear a badge, or I don't believe in fancy titles like mayor or, you know, whatever. You know, if you push too hard on me, I push back. But like I said, I believe in my own freedom, and I carry myself, you know, in a fashion to where I stay out of the way. But if we had more of a base system in school, if we could just do away with the public schools, just do away with them. You know, the committees of safety, I mean, if we could just strip everything down to the bone. Department of Education, Department of Homeland Security. God, I'd love to see that. If there's anything, the last thing I do before I die, I'll see that department disbanded. I hate it worse than the ATF. And those bunch of apes. Man, you mother and father got to be brother and sister to work for the ATF. But freedoms are freedoms, and you keep right on, man. You know, like I said, what you're doing is a good thing. And if more people will listen, hear, heed, and join in, the sooner we can turn this thing around.
You know, I agree. And, I don't try to take any credit for anything that we're doing here at all whatsoever, because, you know, I'm just a messenger about a different way. And the way isn't different at all. It's our way. It's the American way. It's how we did it to create this freedom that we have. But unfortunately, though, it's all been destroyed and taken out of our history books. It's no longer there. We can't even learn what the Founding Fathers did to become free. You know, we're given snippets here. We're told about a Continental Congress, but we're not told who that Continental Congress was, how it was formed, who it was subordinate to. We're not told any of this. So we go out here, we're trying to engage in a movement to restore our Constitution, and we don't know what the hell we're doing. We're going off half-cocked with half the info. And we got problems all over the place. You brought it up on the show before, with the militia of Georgia thing. You know, and I'm not going to say who's right and who's wrong in that situation. I don't know. I'm not there. But I do know this. These problems didn't exist in our founders' day. And it didn't exist because the militia were not autonomous. The militia answered to somebody. And that was we, the people, through our representative bodies. The committees of safety, the associations, whatever they called them in their area. And if a commander got out of line, that commander was replaced. And a new commander was selected.
We see it all over the world. The world is coups and revolutions are all over. I mean, they're all over the world right now. You know, everybody wants, you know, they want that taste of freedom. You know, Gaddafi, you know, he's lifted up his skirts and dropped his headscarf, and he's, you know, he's buttholes and elbows trying to get out of the way. You know, he's trying to, you know, thugs are looting the treasury. They're running, you know, where, if you're a thug tyrant, potentate, where are you going to run these days? You know, where are you going to go? Disney World?
I have no idea.
No.
I have no idea, man. Most of us don't. Most of us, you know, we don't even really want to learn. I mean, you know, I'll be honest, man. I've talked to Tea Party members about the Committee of Safety. I've talked to GO members about the Committee of Safety. They all, you know, they all give lip service and stuff like that. Oh, the Founding Fathers, yes, yes, yes. But what do they do? Nothing. So, you know, I don't know. You know, I know that it's going to start with a very small group of people out there. I know that everything starts with a very small group of people out there. I know that history is changed by a very small group of people out there that stop fighting, that stop bickering, that are fighting for a common goal, that have a common purpose, and they have a common and they're fighting under one banner. I do know that, and that's only happened one time in the history that in modern history, even in ancient history, it's never happened before except once, and it started around 1762. So I say that we stop putting, you know, we put all the bullshit behind us, and we look back to what worked and how they did it. And we stop trying to recreate the wheel, and we use the wheel that was given to us.
I agree.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think we need to start worrying about other countries too, man. I mean, seriously. You know, we spend more time talking about Egypt and Yemen and Libya and all these other countries, and we don't talk about the U.S. We talk about the solutions for them. But we don't talk about our solutions to our problems. We feed the world's hungry. Not with food anymore.
Oh, yeah.
We feed it with our tax dollars now. And those tax dollars never make it to those people that they're going to. It always ends up in these little dictators' hands. And it ends up in NGOs' pockets. And it ends up in Bill Clinton's pockets and Bush's pockets. All that money that the American people gave to go to Haiti, it's in their pockets. It's all fucking missing.
And they're a bunch of crooks.
Let's stop worrying about other countries, and let's start focusing on the U.S., is what I say. You know, let's watch what happens in these other countries, so we know who to look out for if those countries ever turn to regimes that hate us. But nothing new there. Everybody hates us right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think the reason why...
I think the reason why people don't want to address what's going on here in this country because it's too complex. There's no easy answer. You know, there's complexity. They would have to actually think things out. You know, you got bad politicians, bad laws, less freedom. You know, you've got a business. You know, they're literally saying, you got to buy insurance or we'll fine or put you in jail. You know, they're bolstering up the IRS. The people were supposed to, you know, say, oh, that's enough. You can't do that. We'll remove you by force. We're taking back. We gave you, we gave you power, but now we're taking that power back. That's too complicated. You know, through lack of ignorance, they figured their rights come from the government, that the government granted them power to have freedom. That's the slave telling the master, you know, what to do. That's an oxymoron. No such thing.
Well, let me ask you this question, Southeast. You're traveling all over the place. You're traveling all over the place. You're in a truck, man. I mean, these problems, man, I mean, what are the problems you're seeing out there? I mean, just driving around, does it look the same as it did several years ago to you?
There's a lot of the American dynamic is disappearing. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of enclaves to where, you know, it's just the you know, you go to a schoolyard and all you see is, you know, immigrants, illegal immigrants, and they're not learning English. You know, it's everything is in Spanish. It's either written in English and Spanish. You know, and to tell people that, hey, you've got to turn this around, you've got to put your foot down, what it will require, I don't think people have the stomach for it. I don't think they have the intestinal fortitude to put their foot down and say, speak English or get out. Or we're just gonna go to English. You got 2 weeks to take down every sign that's got English and Spanish, stop all the little operator, press one for English, press two for Spanish, you know, stop all of that. Pure English,
right
now. Yeah, I mean, pure, you just say pure English, you speak English right now, or get out. You know, I don't think, even in the militia, I don't think they have the intestinal fortitude to put their foot down, because nobody wants to seem like a bad guy. Nobody wants to, you know, they don't want to seem cold-hearted. But I can guarantee you, your opposition, your Hispanic opposition, your Muslim opposition, they'll lock your head off and not think a second about it. And you'll be thinking, I want to be a nice guy, all the way up until they put you on your knees and say, bend forward and put your head on the block. That is the reality. It sounds cool. Nobody wants to hear that. You know, and you know, but of course, this is what went on back in World War II. You know, when they're like, oh, you know, The Germans are going to do this. I'm sure there was naysayers in that day that were saying, hey, the Germans are going to do this to us. And there was a majority of people that poo-pooed them. Mostly the rabbis and whatever. And they're, no, they're not going to do that. And then, you know, when they're riding on the rail cars, you know, with their gold fillings missing, you know, I guess I was wrong. Too late. You know, that is my fear, that we will have that moment to where it's too late. You can't turn around. You can't fix it. You're stuck. And then the future generations, your grandchildren, they're going to spit your name out. My great-great-granddad was a coward. He let this land die. He let it go into repair, and he didn't even fight for me or my children. You know, that is my biggest horror and fear. You know, that a man will have to face look at his children or grandchildren and say, I failed. You know, well, they're busy. Well, they got to learn Spanish. They can't wave the American flag. You got to kick that down. You can't wear, you can't pray in school. You know, all these things have come to pass. They're happening right now. And if you stand up and do something about it, you know, you're shouted down. You know, these descendants that the anchor babies that got in here, they're representatives now. They're grown. And now they're going to pave the way. Yeah, they're going to pave the way, you know, for more. You know, free college for illegal immigrants. That's already going on in Colorado. It's already up. So I see it all over the place, you know, places where they don't even bother speaking English. They don't even bother. They look at you like, you don't know? You better learn. L.A., forget them. You know, like, you either, you've lost L.A. Let me tell everybody in America right now, you have lost Los Angeles. It no longer belongs to you. If you want it back, you would have to take it by force. Sorry.
Well, you know what? There was a comment in the chat by Ghost, Obi-One. He said, tell me which nation ever achieved peace by being weak. Show me a dictator that's ever been voted out of office.
It's never happened.
It's not going to happen. You know, and like you were saying, you know, some of these areas, man, truly are lost. I lived in L.A. I know. You know, there are some people that are, you know, we've talked about, you know, how to reach some of those people in the ghettos. Gary was mentioned that on the Committee of Safety show and some other ones he was on. You know, reaching out to some of these groups, man. But, you know, you're right, though, for the most part, Los Angeles is gone. Consider it gone.
Yeah, you're not going to reach, you know, maybe, you know, you'll reach some, but the vast majority in the ghettos and the African-American community, they're totally okay with seeing the rest of the country fall down to their level. I'm extremely frank, and I hate to have to apologize like that, and some people might gasp and email you and say, you know, Southeast is extreme, or he's lying, or he's... No, I'm telling you, you know, we've kicked the can. You know, like I heard somebody say today, you know, in budget issues, we've kicked the can so far that there's no place else to kick it. You've got to pick it up, and you've got to deal with the problem now. We've overlooked reality for so long, and now it's here. You have to face it, or die, or just roll over and give up, and let whoever have their way with you, your family, or whatever. They'll take everything you got, your house, your car, whatever, your culture. They'll start tearing down Civil War. Civil War monument in Georgia. You know, that, you know, they're already working on that. They'll just tear them down. You won't know anything about Civil War history, or, you know, you'll know about Pancho Villa, you'll know about Muhammad, you know, or Alexander, or Mao Zedong, or Chiang Kai-shek, but you won't know anything about the founders or anything like that. You know, that's coming. Like 30 years down the road, wow, maybe next 4 years, guaranteed.
Well, you know what? If you look into the plan that, you know, we're presenting here, and the UOTREDME document, you'll see that what we're trying to do is just, you know, we've got a plan implemented in that to get rid of the illegals, to get rid of all of this stuff. And in fact, you know, if you look back, there, you know, the death of a culture always precedes the death of a nation. We find that with the Roman Empire. Look at it. When Rome was a city-state and it had a culture, its own culture, one people, one language, one goal, one agenda, one way of life, it thrived, it prospered. When it started amalgamating in all the slaves and allowing them to become part of the legion and allowing foreigners to become in the legion and to be landowners and to become citizens, that began the fall of Rome. because it no longer had its own culture anymore. It had a whole bunch of different cultures all mixed in within the Roman Empire. It no longer had a common goal, a common purpose, a common banner.
And that's what we learned again. All those barbarians from Germania, they had long memories, come to find out. That's what they called Germany. They called it Germania and stuff like that sort of thing.
Yes. They had long memories, you know, they remembered. And unfortunately, when we bring immigrants here, you know, I don't have a problem with immigration. You know, if we have a need and there's immigrants that can fill that need and they want to come here and become Americans and they want to come here and assimilate into our culture, great. If they want to come here and bring their culture here with them and force it upon us and make us bow to their way of life, fuck off. Time to get home. You like your culture so much, go back home. Where your culture is. This is America. It's our culture. And if I want to put Christmas lights up in my house, then so be it. I shouldn't have to put up a menorah and something for Kwanzaa as well. And if you want to practice Kwanzaa, great. You practice Kwanzaa. And don't infringe upon my right to practice what I choose to practice. And never tell me what I can do in my own country. Ever. Ever.
Isn't that a board game, Kwanzaa?
It's something, I know that. I know it's something from Africa. So hey, you know, it's their thing. You know, if you want to bring the African culture here, I suggest you go back home and engage in the African culture in Africa, whatever culture you come from there. You know, if you want to bring Middle Eastern culture here, then I suggest you head right back to the Middle East and engage in your culture there because it's not wanted here.
You know, the richness of that culture or any culture is be happy to share it, but you have to be able to, you know, okay, I'm an American. You know, I'll speak English first. You know, I'll learn the cultures. I mean, everything, the system should completely be revamped. You know, like the committees of safety would take off overnight. You know, where we could literally put the kibosh and stem the tide right away. But it would take incredible amounts of courage, incredible amounts of fortitude, to just turn things around, you know, and it would be, it'd just be a hard battle. Because these people, they were just, you know, they're used to the handouts, they're used to the perks, you know, they're schools, states, counties, they're out of money. You know, schools, I mean, places all over the country, they're out of money. There is no more money. Plus, they're using, you know, IOUs or Federal Reserve notes, what people call money. You know, they're using those fake IOUs called money. That's the first thing we need to do, is just put the kibosh on that, go back to the gold standard. I think there was one of those places that where they were starting a gold system, and they got raided. You know, you could pay them $500, and it was Patriot money. And it was actually backed by gold. You actually had gold, so they were actual gold and silver certificates. $500 would get you, you know, gold coin. You know,
mm-hmm.
Actually gold base. And I do believe they got raided. You know, and not nary a word. The militia should have been there to stop that. You know.
Well, you know, somebody mentioned in the chat room that several countries have come out and openly stated that multiculturalism is a failure there. Germany, several countries have come out. You know, Canada recently, in one of the newspapers here, the Sun, I believe it was, the Calgary Sun, they openly put, they had something on the front page of the newspaper. It said, by the year 2020, Canada will no longer be Canadian.
That's pretty
bad. 2030. Canada will no longer be Canadian. So, you know, hey, so much for multiculturalism. How is it working out for you guys out there? I know I don't like having to listen through an entire thing to press 1 for English, 2 for Spanish, 3 for Chinese, 4 for Arabic, 5 for this, 6 for that, 7 for this, 59 for another one. I mean, come on. You know, FDR said, if you can't learn our language in 5 years, you need to go. Well, maybe he didn't say 5 years. I forgot what he, but basically he said, if you don't come here to assimilate, you got to go. I say 5 years. If you can't learn our language in 5 years, then you obviously didn't want to be here that hard.
Yeah, I agree.
Didn't want to be here that badly, so I guess you got to go.
You know, how many people, I mean, right now, if you just said, if you speak English, you got to go. You would never.
I think we lost Southeast.
He's still kind of hanging on there, but we'll see if it, yeah, it dropped.
Yeah, he dropped. He went into a thing. So, we heard from Southeast Georgia. Anybody else out there? 877-374-3980. Let's talk about your problems. What concerns you? I would like for it to be about the U.S. I really don't care about Egypt or any place else like that. You know, I'm concerned about the U.S. Let Egypt worry about Egypt's problems. Let Israel worry about Israel's problems. Let Pakistan worry about Pakistan's problems. And let Americans worry about American problems. So, call-in line is 877-374-3980. One of these days I'll memorize that. Or you can drop your, or you could drop your name in Skype, and we'll bring you on, or you could drop your Skype ID name, and we'll bring you on that way. That's where we are. That's where we're sitting. You know, we are a tribal nation now. We no longer have a common culture, common language, common belief system. You know, we were not a Christian nation. We were a nation of Christians. A Christian nation would make us a theocracy.
Exactly right.
And that's not what we are. We're a republic. So obviously we were not a country ruled by a religious doctrine. We incorporated that religious doctrine into our belief system to form our country. So that's what we have. But now we've got people telling us that you can engage in your Christian culture if you're a Christian. They're telling you what you can and can't do. They're telling you even if you're not a Christian or atheist or agnostic and you want to practice Christmas, they're telling you you can't do this. They're telling you that you can't, you know, have your religious iconography out because it offends them. Well, show me the Constitution where it says you're guaranteed the right to be free from being offended.
But I can show you the place in the Constitution where it guarantees us freedom of religious expression. And that's written in there, in black and white. And if you don't like it, get over yourself. Really. This whole thing of, we can't offend anybody, it's not illegal to hurt somebody's feelings. You know, it's absolute fucking bullshit. You know, it has gone way entirely too far. And, you know, we're turning into this, mindless zombie, handout slave state. You know, all these handouts, to all these various different groups have been done on purpose to sabotage our nation. They want these people here to erode our culture, to erode our civilization, to get us fighting about all of these things where we're too busy dealing with this clusterfuck that they've given us to come together and start actually solving real-world issues inside of our own borders.
You know, think about this. Those hundreds of billions of dollars that are being forced out of your pocketbook and out of your paychecks at gunpoint with threat of death if you don't pay, how much could that money be used to benefit us? You know, we spent, $600-700 billion on the first bailout, another $750 billion on the next bailout. Now they're talking about trillions. Imagine if that money was just given back to the people that whose originally it was. We the people. Given to us and said, here, get out of debt, buy your property free and clear. Here's an allodial title. Engage in the free market. What would happen?
The number is somewhere between 12 and 14 trillion now. And it could be actually exponentially higher than that.
I've heard 20 trillion from the Mises, the Mises group. So,
yeah, absolutely. So it could be higher than that. I'm going with the more conservative estimates. But instead of, you know, giving the banks all the money free and clear, you know, if they wanted to you know, get the banks and solve their problem and deal with solving some problems for American citizens, what they should have done with that money is just paid off all the mortgages. And everybody would have been free and clear. The banks would have gotten their money. Everybody would have been completely, you know, debt-free as far as their mortgages are concerned, and have extra monthly income to spend into the economy. We would have seen an economic boom time immediately follow that. You know, people would have been buying willy-nilly because, oh, we got all this extra money now. We're out of debt. Yay. But no, you know, we didn't do that. You know, we could have taken that money and started fixing infrastructure and, you know, building better schools, better roads, you know, doing, you know, scientific research, you know, actually getting into the medical research. We're actually trying to cure diseases rather than cause them. You know, so many of these problems we have are been deliberately engineered for us, almost all of them, in fact. And we just sit and take it day after day after day. And, you know, where's the breaking point in this? I think it's coming. And if we don't get organized and get our shit together when this comes and it's just this disorganized clusterfuck, oh, it's going to end badly. And that's exactly what we're trying to avoid. We don't really want to see a revolution. We want to see a restoration. We want back what we had originally. And if we don't have some organization and some civil authority behind that, when shit hits the fan, we're not going to get that. We're going to get something far worse than what we've got right now.
Oh, you're right. So, again, you know, we need to unite under that damn common banner, under one banner, and we're not doing that, unfortunately. And we got militia groups fighting with each other, fighting amongst themselves, fighting internally, coups going on, breaking off, dividing forces, this and that, and everything else. And again, you know, it comes from this, you know, I hate to say it, but I think it comes from the fact that everybody's trying to be this big statewide group. No offense to you guys, OHMM, you guys seem to be the ones that are working it, but then again, you guys are statewide, but you're not under that state banner. Your groups are autonomous. That works. That's how they're supposed to be. You know, but again, we're trying to do that top-down structure with everything that we're doing, and why can't we get it through our heads? It doesn't work. Nothing top-down has ever worked, ever, in the history of mankind. The
except
only people it's worked for is the people at the top.
Yep. It works real well for them, but everybody else gets fucked. By design, that's how they want it. That's why they're pushing this. It's got to be top down, top down, top down. You know, this whole, you know, Restore America plan, you know, Tim Turner, the top down. Oh, that's not going to end well. You know, they got it all backwards. You know, we are absolutely in dire need of inverting that pyramid back around and reestablishing the civil authority in the hands of the people, and we do that by the bottom up, you know, from your local towns up to the county level to the state and then to the Continental Congress over the federal level. It's got to start at the bottom.
So, you know, when you guys are thinking about doing something or starting something up, keep that in mind. We were always meant to be bottom up. Never top down. So if you're going to start a group, don't start one of those top down groups and, you know, start giving yourself a huge paycheck. Unless that's your goal, is to get that huge paycheck by running one of these top down groups. If your goal is freedom, don't do the top down. It's not going to work. It will fail.
The beautiful thing about it is the bottom up is easier for we the people, us individuals, you know, to go out into our communities and to start building this organization from the bottom up. You know, it would be a hell of a lot more daunting challenge to try to put something in place top down, even if it could work. You know, so why don't we do what's easiest for us and start working on the local level and get all these pieces in place, and then the pieces will start to come together, and then we'll actually start to see something.
Well, I agree, you know, and something else, you know, if you get these groups started, please let us know. We can help, you know, we can really start promoting them and getting them out there. Like, for instance, Peach says that in the chat room, she says that she's got a committee of safety of. Let us know, you know, we can help get you guys material information. We can give you we can post your committee of safety site or your committee of safety contact info on the committee.org site. Get you an email system going. We can do all kinds of stuff. So, you know, get in touch with us. Let us know. Plus, You know, really, seriously, unless people start seeing them coming up and popping up, it's not going to happen. People need to see that other people are doing it. Nobody wants to be the first man in or the last man out. So
that's very true.
You know, share your workings. Tell us what's going on with your committees of safety if you're getting them up and running. I know that people say they have them, but unfortunately, when we ask, you know, hey, you know, contact info, you know, how do people get in touch with you, things like this, we never hear from them. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we don't have a committee of safety up and running yet anywhere. I know that there's an association up in Washington that refuses to acknowledge the militia because they don't want to be, they don't want the stigmatism that goes with the militia being attached to them. So they're not a committee of safety or an association or whatever they want to call it, because they're not engaging in their lawful duty. So
there's a better solution than just not acknowledging the militia to, you know, combat the bad press and misconceptions about the militia. And you know, some of the people we've got on the show are doing just that. You know, they're getting out there and putting a positive face on the militia, and that's what they need to be doing. You know, we have it within our purview to turn this around, and we do need to start working on that. Rather than, oh, well, since they've been demonized, you know, we have to just cut that piece off and not use it. No, that's a critical fundamental piece, and we have to have all of these pieces working together in order for a solution to form that's going to be solid enough to stand the test of what's coming.
Sorry about that. I got a chest cold sinus infection thing coming on. I just had a little bit of congestion today. So I got a cough every once in a while tonight. But, you know, hey, we're either going to do this or we're not. We brought up those protests, those marches that were starting in all these countries, Egypt, stuff like that. You know, they're using the internet as a tool. They use it to disseminate information, schedule and coordinate events, things like that, and they get off and then they go engage. What do? We sit online. We blog about other countries. We argue about other countries. We fight about other countries and what should be and what shouldn't be in their country. Guess what? If we're truly believers of freedom, then it's their choice what their country's like. And if they want an autocratic regime, so be it. If they want a Sharia law country, that's their right. Just like you say, you know, they don't have the right to come here and tell you anything. We don't have the right to go tell them anything. But, you know, we should take a lesson from these groups out there, because they're actually doing something. Even if it's something you don't agree with, it's working for them. Can you show me anything that's worked for us in the last 100 years? One thing, anything that's worked. How did the last election work for you? How about those Tea Party candidates that got elected? How are they working out for you? How's the Tea Party working out for you? How's GOA working out? How are all these other groups working out? You know, we keep waiting for some big national group like the NRA to come in and defend our freedom. Guess what, people? It was yours to defend, not theirs. It's yours to defend. And the only way to defend it is to engage and exercise your freedoms daily and to never compromise on them. Remember, when you compromise, you lose something. For instance, an example. Let's say that we forced the government to give us to revoke 10,000 of those 22,000 gun laws that are in place today, or gun regulations that are in place. Well, some would consider that a victory. We've won. We've gotten back 10,000 of these things that we couldn't engage in before. No, you're still in the hole, 12,000.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
And if you only compromise on one freedom, you've lost something. There is no compromise. There can never be compromise. You can't be a little bit pregnant, and you can't be a little enslaved. You either are a slave or you're not a slave. Even if you're just a little slave, you're still a slave. There can be no compromise on your freedoms.
You're absolutely right. We need to see some backbone and some resolve and a line, not in the sand, but, you know, more in the asphalt, you know, where it just doesn't go away. You know, you know, you're not crossing that line anymore. We're done. We're not giving up any more ground. We're going to take this back. And we need to start seeing some solutions out there. And like you said, you know, what's worked in the last 100 years? Not much anything.
Well, you know, we got two choices here, people. We really do. We can stop trying to reinvent the wheel, stop trying to piecemeal craft together and go back to an actual plan like the Founding Fathers had, which we prevent here. You know, the plan for the restoration of the constitutional government. We're not trying to engage in rebellion or revolt here. We're trying to restore what was our natural freedoms, our God-given rights, if you will, whichever one you want to call it. I don't care. Let's not argue and fight about semantics, even. No, but let's get them back somehow. Let's stop compromising on that. You know, and you know, there was a comment in the chat room, and I want to bring this up here for a second. Sergeant Gulo said, "Your natural point of aim is good to go. Are we clear?" You know, I think that is telling right there. Let's talk about that. You know, we talk about all these people are presenting that civil force, that show of arms, if you will, by marching on D.C. or marching wherever, and they protest for the afternoon, the weekend, and they buy Chinese-made crap, and they wave their little Chinese-made flags, and they wear their little Chinese-made, you know, made in Mexico, made in wherever shirts with the patriotic slogans that say America first. And then we go home and we do nothing and we think that we've done our patriotic duty. We have spoken out. We have engaged in our right to assembly. We've engaged in our right to free speech. And we have spoken out. We have told you, so take that. And while you're speaking out, that cop that's across from you, directly across from you, in 60, 70 pounds of militarized gear, well, he's just waiting for the go word so he can start infringing upon your right to freedom of speech and the right to assemble. And the fact that they're even there should just piss you off and make you hostile because you are compromised now on your freedom of speech and your right to assemble. Because you will behave. You will not get out of line. You will not become unruly. You will obey the laws in which they were laid out to you for your right to free speech and assembly. Although they were not to be infringed upon. They will tell you where you can go and where you can stand. And you will stand off in this little sectioned off court in here. A mile and a half away from where you wanted to be. And if you say anything we don't like, you will be arrested. You will be tasered. You will be beanbagged. You will be beaten. You will be arrested. You will be subjugated. And we accept this. It's only what we need enough. No more. I will not take it anymore. Will it stop?
They'll send in the agent provocateurs and, you know, tip over a couple dumpsters, start a couple fires, and use that as the excuse. Oh, it turned violent. No. And we just let this subtle trick that they like to play, you know, fly. And look what happened at the G20 protests. You know, people trying to peacefully assemble, but, you know, police dressed up in, you know, black masks going around, you know, starting fires, breaking shit. And it gives them the perfect excuse to start firing rubber bullets, tear gas, LRAD, you know, whatever the hell else that they've got, you know, to use against us. You know, the stuff that they've been using on the people in Iraq, you know, here on the streets of the United States of America, a free country. Yeah. Not so much so anymore.
So let's look back at some times when that show of force might have been helpful. I don't know, the Gun Control Act of 1968, perhaps, when they tried to come and say that you no longer have the right to keep and bear arms, and that we will infringe upon your right, and you have nothing to say about it. And what did we do? We had nothing to say about it. We had nothing to say about it. Not a damn thing to say about it. What could we have said about it? We could have all walked out of the house with our arms and said, fuck you. We talk about come and take them, but we never engage in come and take them. You know, and people know me. I want this restoration to be hugs and kisses. Handshakes and hot dogs all around for everybody, man. I want to go out and have a beer afterwards and say thanks for stepping down. Now get the hell out of my sight. And I never want to see you again. It's not going to happen that way, though, unfortunately. Power never gives up power. Dictators are never voted out of office. But perhaps, just perhaps, maybe, if we actually get our act together and we start working together. And we have that civil show of force and that militarized show of force, and we say no with one loud, strong voice that will not accept compromise. Maybe, just maybe then, that will be enough. Or perhaps it'll be enough to belay their actions for a while so we can continue to grow stronger and stronger every day, to rebuild what was lost, to build up our committees of safety and make them powerful vehicles, to build up our militia and make them true deterrents to tyranny. Maybe it'll just give us that pause so we can do what we need to do. But whatever does happen, it'll be something more than what we've been doing now. You want to go protest? Take your rifle with you. Put your protest sign, tape it to your rifle. And then we'll have a committee of safety meeting afterwards and say, hey, let's convene a grand jury. And maybe one day when we have 10, 15,000 grand jury true writs going throughout our courts, maybe one of them will pass through and something will happen with it. And then just maybe, we now have precedents. There's 10,000 ways this thing can go, but if we do nothing, we're only going to get one way, and that's the road to tyranny. So the question is, what are we going to do now?
Right. We need to start trying stuff, and we need to start getting active and trying to solve the problems. If it doesn't work, move on to the next solution. Just keep trying. We got to keep plugging away at this. I think we've laid forth a pretty cogent plan of how all this can come together, and I don't see anybody else out there, you know, offering anything similar. You know, they just want to, you know, spend a bunch of rhetoric, and you know, that's not what we're about here. We're about, you know, trying to actually formulate plans and implement solutions. You know, the time for the rhetoric is long past. Now we need to get active and start repairing our nation.
Too true. So what are we going to do? You know, I did a show called We're Here, Now What? And it was a show to basically start asking those questions. I also did a blog on RAM called Headless Chickens and Other Tales of Utility. That one got a ton of comments on it. If you're on RAM, I highly recommend you go read that. Not just the article, the posts that were made afterward. There's at least 100 and, I don't know, 130, 140 on there. But, you know, we need to start having these conversations with each other, not just me talking to you guys, but you guys having these conversations with everybody out there. These tough conversations, these conversations that some people might not like. For instance, you know, I saw a post out there about, you know, our enemies, who our enemies are. And I saw all these, you know, the KKK listed, Aryan Nation, all these groups out there. You know, and I was playing devil's advocate with Gary Hunt one night, and we were talking about these groups, and I said, well, let's talk about the Nazi propaganda then. You know, my contention was, again, playing devil's advocate, is that they're Nazis. They believe in Hitler's doctrine. But as Gary pointed out ever so clearly, and, you know, he's right, I've talked with a lot of these guys. You know, they espouse race purity, this, that, so forth and so on. Well, these existed long before the Nazi. In fact, Hegel and Nietzsche were some of the ones to talk about this long before the Nazi Party. I don't ever hear them talking about bringing in a Nazi regime. I hear them talking about what's good for America. So even though we disagree on some things, I would not call them enemy. They're fighting for what they think is right for America as well, which I think is what we're all fighting for. So I think that, you know, the time to be able to pick and choose who your friends are going to be is over. Anybody that stands for America's right to be free, for your right to be free, should be considered your friend, even if you don't like what they stand for, as long as they stand for free Americans.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm all about that myself. Just because I don't agree with you, I certainly wholeheartedly support your right to have those opinions and to, you know, engage in the speech and the things that you're doing, you know, because if I don't support your freedom to do that, then, you know, how am I to expect you to support my freedom to do the same thing? And it becomes quite hypocritical. And we've got a lot of that going on all over this country. A lot of hypocrites out there. Oh, no, it's got to be our way. You know, blah, 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 blah. And they just go on and on and on. and, you know, overlook all these, you know, obvious things that, you know, common sense, you know, it's not so common anymore. You know, you call it rare sense. I don't know. I mean, it really boggles my mind, you know, how far, you know, we've come, you know, from a nation that was, you know, founded on the principles of freedom and liberty and justice for all, you know, to a police state of tyranny, you know, where, you know, you have to be afraid of offending anyone because you might accidentally hurt someone's feelings. Life sucks. Get a helmet.
Grow up hair. Grow up hair. Grow up hair. You know, I saw something up here in the chat room. I haven't been paying attention to the chat room, as most of you know. When I go on my rants, I kind of just, I can't pace around anymore. That kind of sucks. I'm locked at the desk now. I got my mic, so I can't pace around anymore. You know, but there was a comment up in the chat room I wanted to go over. One angry brother said, "We really need to take notes from the Middle East. They got rocks and sticks, they fight against the bullets, but they had the numbers. What would they do if we showed up at a protest with 300,000 militia ready to die, all locked and loaded?" Again, there's that show of teeth. That's the show of teeth. We've never done that. We have never done that. And yes, all of, you know, as is being spoken about in the chat room, and I mentioned this before, Brzezinski wrote about all of these revolutions happening. The Orange Revolution, the Red Revolution, he wrote about all these, and he knew they were going to happen because he's the one that caused them. So, but again, these things are all being led by the top down, by the ICG and groups like that, these non-governmental organizations. The committees of safety are not that way. They are not a non-governmental organization. They are not a top-down organization. If you infiltrate one, so what? If there's 50,000 other ones out there, who cares if one gets infiltrated? You can't take them down. You can't take them all down. You will have to spend an ungodly amount of money, an ungodly amount of resources that don't exist to infiltrate them all and to take them all over. And if we're true to what we stand by and what we are about, they can't be taken over and they can't be subverted. I know Spartan Academy said just waiting for the moment. Well, we can't wait for the moment. We have to engage in action now for when the moment comes. Don't mean to point you out. Don't mean to point you out, but, you know, it's that mentality that we're waiting for something to happen. No, let's make that something happen. I play chess. I played a lot of chess. And I'll tell you what, the first person to make that open aggressive move on the board, usually white, because they make the first move, and if you play against me, my first move is very aggressive. They control the pace of the game from that point on. Let's act now. We should have acted 20 years ago. We should have acted 40 years ago and 60 years ago, but we didn't. Let's act now because tomorrow might be too late. And even if we can only get a few set up and running, those areas will be less hard hit. There will be less chaos. For those areas that do have the committees of safety and the militia established, where the militia understand their subordination, where they work together as a team. One is the civil body, one is the armed might. You can't have one without the other. One is the pen, one is the sword. The power of the pen only comes from the might of the sword behind it. And I've never met a sword that can negotiate peace yet.
Yeah, that'd be a neat trick.
So, instead of waiting for something to happen, let's make something happen. Let's make something happen. Let's do, you know, take a lesson from the pages of history. That first militia in Massachusetts, when they pulled their subordination from Andros, they went to the people and they said, "Please, form a committee, form a civil authority that we can subordinate to." And I hear groups out there saying, "We can't find people." Okay, great. If you can't find them outside of your group, then look to your group first. Now, Gary had come on earlier, and we were talking about something here. He's been going back through and reading some stuff, and I want to bring him on in a little bit and talk about that. We found some stuff, you know, showing militia were parts of the committees of safety, but they weren't officers. So before we go into that, I want to read more about that as well. But we're finding new things every day. But look within your own groups then. If you've got guys that are long in the tooth, whose packs have seen a better day, who can't hump 10, 15, 20 miles and then engage in an op, you look to them and say, look, we need you here. And have them form the committees of safety. And if they're your trainers, that's fine. There's nothing saying that your trainers can't be in the committee of safety and go train your militia. It would behoove them to. Hell, I think that all committee of safety members should be engaged in training with their militia as well. Because when it comes down to it, you know, if a bad thing ever happens, you never know when they're going to need to be that trigger puller. Even if it's in just defense of your own home from a criminal, you never know when that training is going to be needed. We should all be militia. Little M militia. Capitalized militia with a big M. That's an organized body. That's a group. But each one of us should be that individual militia. We should all be trained. We should know how to defend our freedom, our lives, our families, and our community if needed.
The better we're trained, the better we're equipped, the better we're organized, the bigger deterrent that will be that we'll ever have to use any of that.
So, start something today. Because we didn't do it yesterday, and we didn't do it 10 years ago or 20 years ago. If we don't do it today, when are we going to start doing it? If it doesn't happen, when will it happen? And if we don't do it now, who's going to be left to do it? Look at the kids coming. Look at the kids in junior high right now and elementary school. Do you think they're going to fight for freedom? They have no idea what privacy even means. They post their entire life on Facebook and Twitter. They tell you when they're going to the bathroom. They don't understand the concept of privacy. I forgot the Supreme Court justice who said it, but he said the greatest right we have is the right to be left alone. They don't know what it is to be left alone. They have no idea of the concept. Look at the kids coming out of college today. Do you really think that they have any idea about the concepts of freedom? They're taught nothing but socialist doctrine. Hell, when I was at UNLV, they were teaching nothing but socialist doctrine. The only relief I got from it was Murray Rothbard. Hands off, but that's it. So if we don't do it today, when are we going to do it? And if we don't start now, will we have time tomorrow? Now we keep saying, you know, all last year, all I heard about it is every month it was, this is the disaster to end America. There's going to be a nuclear strike here. They're going to do this here. They're going to engage in martial law in the Gulf of Mexico. And everybody screamed in panic, and nobody did anything. Not once did anybody say, okay, look, I'm biting the bullet. Screw it. If I got to resign from the militia, then I resign, and I build a committee of safety. But somebody's got to do it. We did nothing. And they were all false alarms. They were the little boy that cried wolf. But what happens when that day comes when it's not the little boy that cried wolf? And it really does happen. Then we're all screwed because nobody's got anything going. Our militia are still broken and fractionalized. We fight about Masons and Illuminati and conspiracy theories galore. And yes, some of them might be true. In fact, a good number of them are true. I know for a fact. I've read the government docs on them. But we fight about the things that don't matter. We argue over the 14th Amendment. Well, you know what? If we get freedom back, the 14th is gone. So what are we fighting about it for? Who cares if we're a corporation or not? I don't care what is. I don't accept it anyways. All I care about is what it's going to be. So let's get to that point.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head there. It's time for a change. It's time to grow up here. It's time to start taking action. We don't have a lot of time left. You know, so... You know, who will step up if not but us?
And I know a lot of people out there don't have the equipment, the money, or to train and things like that, and that's okay, man. We're all hurting up here, man. I haven't worked in 5 years. I went broke. I went out of business. Can't get a I can't get a work visa up here because they don't want Americans working up here. They want to bring in third world goat herders. And that's what they bring in. They don't bring in skilled labor here. They bring goat herders here, much like in the U.S. And they pay for them to come here and get on welfare, even though that's a violation of the law, just like the U.S. Do what you can. Do what you can. There's plenty of guns out there to go around if they're ever needed. Hell, I know a 19-year-old girl that lives 2 miles from me. She has 20 rifles and handguns and other things. There are guns to be had. Your mind is your greatest weapon out there. Your voice is your second. All of these things should be used long before you ever grab that rifle. So start engaging with the tools that you have available to you. Engage in the training you can engage in. Beg, borrow, and steal. Use a stick if you have to. Pretend it's a rifle. Do what you have to do, but do something. The internet is not a lifestyle. The couch is not where you're going to get your freedom at. The TV and Glenn Beck are not going to lead you to freedom. They're not going to lead you to restoration. Ask Glenn Beck his stance on the Second Amendment. Ask Glenn Beck how he feels about the militia. See how much he really supports that Constitution he says he does. There's no voices out there, people. If they're on TV, it's not the voice of freedom for you. It's we the people that are going to be that voice. Not just me, other people, you. You personally, go look in the mirror. That's your leader. What are you going to do? I know what I can do, and I do what I can every damn day, whether I'm on the air or not. Question is, what are you going to do? And how far are you willing to go with it? Are you willing to compromise on your freedom? These are the questions you need to ask yourself, and if you are, and if you're not willing to go all the way, then, that's okay. No hard feelings. But if you are you really doing everything you can each day? And if you're not, why? And if it's a problem with money and things like that, then find a solution. I know it's easier said than done, but hey, it's what I got. It's all I got for you. Find a solution to solve that. You got to deliver newspapers in the morning. Go deliver newspapers in the morning. Do what it takes to make it happen. That is a true. That right there. If you're willing to do whatever it takes to make it happen, there you will separate the men from the boys. You will find the doers. And it's going to be those doers who step up to the plate and do what it takes and whatever is needed that will make this happen. Glenn Beck is getting paid a whole shitload of money to talk to you about freedom and to sell you his books and to get you to go spend your money going to some rally in some far-off state or some far-off district of Colombia that you've never been to before. When the problems and the solutions are right there in your hometown. Think of all the money that went into that Million Man March in D.C. Think of all the T-shirts and flags that were bought and all the money being sent to China because of it. Think of all of these things. And then say, what could I have used that money for to make change here locally in my town, in my city? And while Glenn Beck is counting his hundreds of millions of dollars that he makes a year, and you're sitting there eating macaroni and cheese, maybe then it'll sink in.
One can hope so.
Wow, we're down to our last 20 minutes. I ranted. Callers, comments, your ideas. This is not a one-man show here. This is not going to be a one-man movement. This is not a Randy thing or a Gary thing or a Dave thing. This is a you individually thing. So if you got questions, you got comments, you can hit us up on Skype. Drop your name in the drop your Skype ID in the chat room, we'll bring you in. Or you can call in on the 800 line. It's at the top right hand page of the screen. Call in number is 877-374-3980. So what are your guys' thoughts out there? I've said mine for the night. You've heard my piece. Where do you want to go, Dave?
Well, yeah, I think we've said about everything. You know, the whole paradigm with the controlled opposition out there, like the Glenn Beck and stuff. It's the guy's a jackass. You know, he's a traitor. You know, just like a lot of the other ones out there, he tells you just enough truth to get you hook, line, and sinker. And then he leads you to this really faulty conclusion. You know, it's the same thing. You know, people really have got to stop listening blindly, to all these talking heads out there and start thinking for themselves. It's really not that difficult. I mean, everybody's kind of gotten lazy and complacent. Oh, we have to think for ourselves. Oh, that's so much work. No, it's not. It's bullshit. You know, it's really easy just to kind of pull your head out of your butt for a minute and go, wait a minute, there's something really wrong here, and start seeing it for yourself. And I'm happy that we've got the crowd that we've got, because we really have a lot of people that are thinking for themselves out there. I think we've got probably one of the best listening audiences out there. And I'm very happy with the group that we've been assembling. And with all of your help out there, you can help this grow and help us market the show, bring more people in. Because we need the thinkers and the doers, the problem solvers now more than ever. Not to fear monger, but we're in a state of crisis here. We don't have a lot of time to fuck around, before it's going to be way too far gone to fix. When people are getting slaughtered in the streets, it's coming if we don't stop this. We don't have a lot of time. It's time to get with the program.
Well, you're right. So what do we do? Where are we going to go with this, people? Somebody said I speak for a lot of people out there. I speak for myself. I truly speak for myself and myself only. When I start speaking for other people, I think that they, I think when other people start speaking for you, that means that you've lost some of your individuality there. Because I don't speak 100% on everything that you believe. In fact, I don't think I've ever found a person out there who believes in 100% of the things that I do or agrees with me 100% on the things that I do. As much as Gary and I agree on the big things, we disagree on a lot of things. And I like it that way. I don't want a nation of clones. I'm fighting against that.
Well, they get boring. That would get real boring.
So, speak for yourself. Never let anybody speak for you. Agree with things that people say that you agree with. But never let anybody speak for you. Always speak for yourself and represent yourself. I really don't take credit very well. And I've heard anything too much. I'm just one guy out here trying to make a change and a difference. And unfortunately, I can't make that change and that difference alone. I need the help of a lot of people out there, which is why I do what I'm doing now and in the past and so forth. I've been wrong about stuff in the past. I've made mistakes in the past. I've done all that. I'm human. Show me a human that hasn't, and I'll say, wow, that was Jesus Christ. Because apparently he's been the only perfect person out there. So, with all that said, the day is coming. It's going to come one way or the other. Your freedom is going to be threatened even more than it is today. And the question is will you be prepared for it? Will your community be prepared for it? Will your children be prepared for it? Bugging out is not an option. Where are you going to bug out to? Your little 5-acre plot of land somewhere, your 10-acre plot of land, your 50 acres, your 200 acres? You don't think that's on a tax roll somewhere? You think that they don't know you're there? Where are you going to bug out to?
There's nowhere left to run. Believe me, we've looked. There's nowhere left to run. You know, in the way, way, way long ago, you could just, you know, okay, screw this. Just head off into the frontier somewhere and fend for yourself. That's not an option anymore. There is no more frontier.
That's it. You know, anymore, and I don't try to make a show for the masses, like I said in the past. This is not that thing. And I don't even want to call this a radio show or a program, because we know programs are just meant to program you. Shows are entertainment. The show is not, this is what I do here is not for entertainment purposes. This is serious. I'm not here to entertain you. If I was here to entertain you, I would be the next Alex Jones. I would be out here scaring the shit out of you. I would be here hustling you the latest and greatest DVD that I put out. I'd be hustling you the newest product and the cure-all wonder drug or the cure-all natural remedy for whatever ails you. And I'd be racking in money. This is not a show. There's no entertainment here. So this is serious what we talk about here. And, you know, it's only going to grow with your guys' help. Freedom's only going to grow with your guys' help. You know, that guy that spoke up by himself in Tiananmen Square, stood by himself, and was imprisoned alone. I don't even know if he's still alive. Is he still alive? If not, I bet he died alone.
I think they killed him.
Oh, there you go. Maybe they killed him right away, didn't even imprison him. All I know is that he stood up alone and tried to steal and enslave.
Oh, it's going to take all of us. You know, we can't do this by ourselves. We need it. People. We need all of you. We're all in this together. You know, we're not just fighting for our own freedoms. We're fighting for your freedoms as well.
Peach brought up a comment in the chat room. So, when will we say enough? Why let our republic completely be destroyed before we do something to stop the destruction? Peach, that's the point of this show. That's the point of the plan. That's the purpose of the committees of safety and the militia.
I would like an answer from the public on that question, though.
There you go. So let's hear from the public out there. If anybody wants to call in, you've got the toll-free number. 877-374-3980. How do you think we're going to keep this thing from falling apart before it gets better? I say that we can save it, not all of it, perhaps. But we can start in our own area and start there. You know, like Gary Vee, you know, that the map, you know, with the whole with the whole visual of the map thing. Picture a map. The map is all black. Tyranny resides. And then this little pinprick of white shows up. And then another one. And then a third one. And a fourth one. And then the 100th one. And eventually these spots of white on this map begin to merge and form bigger areas. And then maybe a county is free. And then maybe a region, you know, several counties, and then a state, and then the second state, and then the third state. That's how it begins. That's where it goes. Boyd, yes, we do. In fact, you know, we had a question from the chat room. Do we really have a hope of restoring value back money? Yes, we do. As with all plans, there would be a plan for the return of real money. And we've got the economic plan drafted out in the plan as well. The plan for the restoration of the Constitutional Republic is so detailed it took 11 90-minute shows to do. You can find those archives at the bottom of the website, at the chat room, in the link that says listen to the old blog talk shows. The shows were called Time for a Plan. There's 11 of them. Extremely detailed. You can also listen to two shows that we did with Joseph P. Martino, retired colonel. He did a lot of work in insurgency and counterinsurgency and stuff. He also was a professor of just war doctrine, but since nobody has ever turned the just war doctrine's eyes upon lawful resistance to tyranny, he decided to do it. And the book was a 10-year writing, 10 years in the writing on that book.
We've got a caller, 479 area code.
Yeah, bring him on, 479. Hello, yeah, area code 479. Who is this?
This is the Spartan Academy.
Spartan Academy, how you doing?
I'm doing very good. How about you?
I'm doing great tonight. It's always a great day.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I just wanted to say that obviously you're not going to be able to save it all. A lot of it's going to be lost. And but the reality of the fact is that we got to stand up. I mean, I'm ready. I'll stand up right now. I will do it right now. I will stand, and I don't even know what we're waiting on anymore. Because every day we wait, I saw something in the chat said that every day we wait, we get more organized and they feel more disorganized. Well, that's wrong. Okay, they have tons of funding and they're preparing for it right now, much better than we are. Every day we wait, they get more prepared. They get more powerful. If we wait till it's too late, I mean, let's be honest. Nobody wants to see our family hurt. No one wants to see our neighbors get hurt. Every day we wait, that becomes more and more of a possibility. I mean, honestly, I can't tell you more than five people I know in real life that if somebody was, or the police were kicking down my neighbor's door for no reason other than he was stocking food, would go over there and attempt to do anything to help that guy.
And that is a problem.
It's not going to get better because we're more and more brainwashed.
So, I disagree there. Let me tell you why I disagree. See, I'm in Canada right now. I'm in socialist America. I'm in socialist North America. You have no idea what socialism is like and how much people beg for socialism until you really come up here and you see it. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. You know, I always thought that. I thought Canada was much different. Then I came up here and I saw it for really. Now, the funny thing is that this socialist government still allows them the right to bear arms. So there's still some hope.
Yeah.
But even here, in socialist Canada, I found more than five people that are willing to stand.
Well, of course, I know, but I'm saying I found lots
of
people.
So I live in America, man. I really don't think that people have, there's no excuse in America. I think that the reason we can't find people is because we're not looking for people as hard as we should be. You know, there's lots of ways to get followers. So like, maybe it's the way we're doing it. You know, maybe we need to do a teaching, you know, selling the New World Order to Sheep 101 show. You know, because we go out there, we start talking about death camps and, you know, we start talking about FEMA camps and this and that. Well, you know what, we're going to scare a lot of people off. But we start talking about HARP and alien agendas and Masons and Illuminatis and Satanists that want to control our country. You're going to lose people. Yeah. That's an instant guarantee they shut you down and don't even care what you have to say. Mm-hmm. There are better ways to sell an idea out there.
I think the fear factor is really just—it's incredible because a lot of people, they don't want to go out there, they don't want to go on them, they don't want to call radio shows because these are being recorded and archived, and they might hear what we're saying. So
I want them to listen.
You're right,
to what
there is there's no excuse. And we need to break that fear factor because I think that we almost put them in like a godly status, like they're invincible. I mean, the enemy we face is a very strong, absolutely overly prepared enemy, but they're not inhuman. They all bleed and they all feel emotions. I think that we need to break this fear factor because every day we lie in fear, our fear gets a little stronger and we stay a little more in like that quote that guy said that about waiting and waiting and waiting and until you're dead. We gotta.
I've read
a shortened spark.
Oh, go ahead. You know, I've read all of these documents that come out from the UN and all the books written by these guys that are shaping the world that we live in today. They all say the same thing. They're not going to come down with a military dictatorship in the U.S. They know they can't do that. They're not going to come in and take away all of our guns. They know they can't do that. But what they will do is break us down through attrition. And they said that they know that all they got to do is wait us out because in 30 years we'll all be dead. We're all going to die of old age, and, you know, guys like me will be in the 70s.
Exactly.
And what the hell are we going to do then? And then all you'll have left is your children and your grandchildren, and they'll know nothing. So, you know, it's those that know and do nothing, I think, that are truly even worse than those who refuse to know. Because they know.
It's really,
and they're so afraid to do anything.
It's quite treasonous. It's treason, actually. I honestly believe that it's treason. And you know what's happening to your country, to your countrymen, to your land, and you're refusing action. I think that is tyranny. I believe that's tyranny. I think that Thomas Jefferson would agree with me on that one.
I agree there, too. You know, we all need to, you know, we've mentioned this on the show, you know, we spend way too much time online. Stop blogging about crap. Go out there into the streets and start talking to your neighbor. You know, that blog that you just posted is one of 10 million blogs that went up on the internet within the last hour about the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not spreading any more info. So instead of spreading, you know, instead of recycling that blog about that topic for the 10 millionth time in under an hour, go out there and talk to your neighbor about that blog. Go out there and find out what's important to your neighbor, what their concerns are, and then start talking to them about these concerns.
Well, that's exactly right. For instance, I went out and I was handing out flyers, going door-to-door talking to people, trying to just see what people really thought. And I only did 5 houses before the cops came. Cops came, they got my ID, I refused to give them my ID. They said they're going to put me in handcuffs. One cop got out of the car, went up, put me against the car, and basically told me that if I didn't stop passing out information, that they were going to try me for slander, and that was it, and they sent me home. You understand what I'm saying? So it's all the fear factor. The fear factor. I mean, we got to break it, and it can be broken. You know, like I said, courage is a small spark, short-lived, but that spark can set a fire. Understand? We got to let that spark set a fire. But I got to go now. My wife needs me. But thank you for calling in.
Hey, thanks for coming on and listening to the show. I enjoyed having you here tonight. I hope it was informative. Normally we have guests on. Militia Monday is reserved for militia units, but our guest tonight was—he's down and out, man. This guy is a trooper. He'll PT with 2 broken legs, like I said, but he's down and out. He's in bed for the last 4 days, so he must be really bad. But you know, I encourage you to listen to our past downloads and really get a feel for what this show is like if you don't already know. We actually present a plan, step A through Z, on how we can restore this country and the things we'll need to implement in order to do it. So if you have any questions, feel free to email me. My email is randymack@youhavetreadonme.com. If you'd like updates on the shows as well, this is for everybody, not just you, Spartan. But go run, take care of your family.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You take care. Anybody out there, if you're listening to the archives and you're not on the mail list, I put out an email for each of the shows. This one I did, and I found out that Morg wasn't going to be on here lately. So I was scrambling at the last minute to try and figure out what to do or to bring somebody else on, but I decided not to rearrange the schedule. So it was going to be a rant night. But if you want updates to the show, you can email me at randymack@youhavetreadonme.com and put subscribe me there. I send out a couple of emails a week about the show. I don't forward. I don't send out junk mail. I don't do any of that crap. I don't have time for it. So, with that being said, everybody, what are you going to do? And when are you going to start?
I think the time for fear is past. You know, fear is actually useless to those with rational minds. You know, fear is a mechanism used by, you know, people and animals to protect them from dangers they cannot understand. You know, it's time for us to overcome that and, you know, realize that that's been used to control us and to break free of that and start being bold and taking the initiative and being willing to stand and write the next chapters of our history. It's up to us, all of us, together.
That's it. So, archives on the show. You can find the archives. They'll be up here shortly. Download, listen to them. Go back to the old archives on Blog Talk. Some incredible shows there, including the Time for a Plan series, where we detail out exactly the plan over 11 audios to restore America back to its constitutional government. Also, check out the archives, the two archive shows called Resistance to Tyranny, Part 1 and 2 with Joseph P. Martino. And if you haven't, buy his book. The link is at the top of the website. It's called Resistance to Tyranny, big yellow letters. You can't miss it. I don't hustle his product on this show because I'm getting paid for it. In fact, I don't get a dime for it. He sold a lot of books, and I haven't gotten paid a penny. I don't want a penny. I promote his book because I think it's a must-own for every militia member out there, and every COS should have multiple copies. I have read that book 15 times in the last 2 months. I even read it so much I lost it. So I got a new one. Smiter sent me one up. Thank you, Smiter. I just got it in today. We'll be having him back on the show as well this starting in March sometime. So with that, next Sunday we've got One Angry Brother. He's going to be on Sunday. After that we have the East 63rd, East Washington 63rd coming on from Eastern Washington State. This guy is incredible. You're going to enjoy hearing him. His name is Ed Lesarge. Great guy. Amazing guy. And that's a lot coming from me. I don't just put that out to anybody. You know, there's a lot of people I don't have on this show for a reason. This is one of those guys that I would be more than happy to have on this show. So we'll see you then. Everybody take care. Be safe. Be free. Bye-bye.